Welcome, everyone. Today, we will explore environment diagrams in Python, seeing how names bind to values, how frames link together, and how closures remember their defining scope. Every time you use a higher-order function, you are trusting Python to remember what names mean later, possibly long after the original call finished. Today, we build a model that explains that memory. Last lecture, we treated functions like any other value. We store them in variables, pass them into other functions, and return them.
So the big question is, when a function runs later, how does it know what a free name refers to?
Exactly. By the end, you will be able to draw the frames and apparent links that explain closures, shadowing, and even why mutation needs special rules. Let us begin with a program so small that we can almost see Python thinking. Before we run it, picture a table of names and their values. This code first binds x to 2, then computes x plus 1, and then binds y to that computed value. So the environment ends with two bindings.
So it is not that y points to x plus 1 forever. It stores the result 3.
Right? A binding is named to value, not named to expression. That separation is going to matter a lot once we start calling functions. Here is the core vocabulary. If you learn only one thing today, learn what a frame is and how lookup walks upward through parents. A frame is just a table. Each name can appear at most once, and it points to a value like a number or a function.
And an environment is not a single table, it is a chain of frames like local, then global?
Yes. To resolve a name, Python checks the current frame first. If the name is not there, it follows the parent pointer and repeats until it finds a binding or fails. Name lookup. Search current, then parent, then keep going. Now we add one idea. Calling a function does not overwrite the global frame. It creates a new frame for that call. Predict before running, the first print calls square with 3, so we expect 9. The second print calls square on the result of square of 3, so we expect 81.
In the diagram, each call makes its own x binding, so the inner call uses x equals 3. Then the outer call uses x equals 9.
And notice the parent pointer? Both call frames point back to the global frame because square was defined at top level. That parent link is how square can still find global names if it needs them. Shadowing is not magic. It is just the lookup rule. Current frame first, then parent. Before we run predict, f of 10 should be 11. G takes no parameters, so x is not local there, and it should use the global x equals 1, giving 2.
So inside f, the name x means the parameter, not the global x. The global x is still there, just not the first one found.
Exactly. In gx is a free name. It is not bound in the local frame. So lookup walks to the parent, finds the global binding, and uses that. This is the moment where higher order functions become concrete. Make add returns a function, and that return function needs to remember something. Predict. Make adder of 3 returns a function that adds 3. So add 3 of 4 should print 7.
The diagram says the returned function is not just code. It also points to the make adder call frame where n was 3.
Yes, that pair is a closure. When we call add 3, we make a new frame with x equals 4, and its parent is a stored frame, so name lookup finds n equals 3 there. Students sometimes think lambda is a different kind of function. In the environment model, it is the same kind of object, code plus a parent pointer. Predict f of 5 as 1, so 6. The second line makes a function and immediately calls it on 5, so it should print 25.
So even the one you do not name still creates a frame when you call it, and it still has a parent environment.
Exactly. Lambda is just a compact way to say create a function value right here, capturing the current environment as its parent. Now for the punchline. Frames are not only for parameters. They can also store local state that lives longer than a single call if a closure keeps a pointer to that frame. Predict the outputs. The first int should return 1, the second should return 2, and get should return 2 because it reads the same n.
So int and get are different functions, but they share the same parent frame where n lives. That is why get sees the updated value.
Exactly. And notice the keyword non-local. It means do not create a new local n. Instead, find an existing binding of the parent chain and update it. We will study mutation carefully later. At this point, environment diagrams are a tool, not a ritual. Use them when you are unsure what a name refers to. When code surprises, you stop and ask, which frame contains the binding for this name right now? That question often locates the bug immediately.
And closures stop feeling mystical. They just keep a pointer to an old frame so lookup can still find free names.
Great. Next time, we will apply the same model to recursion where calls stack up many frames and you learn to predict which ones are still active. For the exit ticket, do not run this yet. Use the environment model, which n will add 3 U's. We create add 3 by calling makeAdder with 3, so the return function closes over the call frame where n equals 3. Then we later bind a global n to 100.
So add 3 of 10 should still be 13 because lookup finds n equals 3 inches the closure parent frame before it would ever look at global n.
Exactly. The key reflection is that closures do not research global history. They follow a specific parent pointer captured at function creation time. And that is why add 3 prints 13. Thanks for watching this. Subscribe to Thinking in Math channel for this and other interesting math topics. And we always welcome your feedbacks. Leave your questions and suggestions in the comments.